The Secrets of Technology is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. You're listening to The Secrets of Technology. Hi, I'm Don Bettinelli, and you're listening to The Secrets of Technology, where we discuss the technology news that's important to you from a uniquely Catholic point of view. And joining me today on the panel are Father Michael Gossett. Hi, Father Michael.
Hi, Dom. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And Thomas Denherho.
Hi, Dom. How's it going?
Good. So a couple times ago, we introduced our other panelists that we have on as well, Father Corey and Joanne, and I asked them to introduce themselves to the audience and some introductory material. So I'll do the same for you in our first segment. Why don't we start with you, Thomas? Can you introduce yourself, your background, and what you'd like to contribute to the podcast?
Sure. I am currently a technology teacher at a Catholic elementary and middle school here in Brandon, Florida. And I came into the role because I was working as the social media director for the parish, and then the technology teacher moved on and they said, hey, you know a lot about this kind of stuff. Would you like to come in and do it? And so I'm finding that I'm falling in love with all the stuff that I'm teaching. I'm teaching a lot of programming. I'm teaching a lot of robotics. We have a really good robotics team this year. I've got a new 3D printer for Christmas, and I'm currently studying to take some cybersecurity certification tests.
Awesome. All those skills will come in handy on this podcast, all that background, because we're going to be getting into all of that. Father Michael, a little bit about yourself.
Sure, yeah. As you may have heard on other podcasts, I'm obviously a Catholic priest and in a parish and in a high school and in vocations work. And I guess I'm really interested in how technology helps with those things, especially just organizing it all, communicating really well. I've done social media for our parish and for our vocations office in the Diocese of Steubenville, and just really enjoy evangelizing that way and sharing things and communicating with people. I'm an Apple person, and I try not to be crazy or you'd say religious about it, but I enjoy the products and I enjoy making them work as a priest and how they can really make things smoother and easier and keeping track of the many things that I'm trying to do.
Excellent. So a couple of the things that we want to do is we figure out where, or kind of let people know where we look to go with this podcast. And we're going to cover the news as it happens. But there'll be times when we want to kind of spread out a bit. Maybe, there's an interesting angle we want to take. And so maybe to kind of let the audience know what interests you, what areas of technology are most interesting to you. So Father Michael, what parts of technology do you think you'd love to talk most about?
I'm a big sci-fi fan, and it's just amazing to me that just the different things that are out now are just a few years ago, we might not have believed that things would be so easy of talking to your phone and your computer. So I bet, to me, just the ways that humans interact with the technologies we've developed and the ways that it's changed us, and maybe the ways that are not so obvious, especially with social media. I love space travel and just all that's coming out in our ordinary lives. Technology that we wouldn't have dreamed of is available to us. And yeah, that always keeps me excited.
You know, that's one of the things I want to make sure we get into is we're not going to just do computer and consumer electronic stuff, but I'd like to kind of at times delve into, it's like space technology and, the various private space firms are doing and what NASA is doing and that sort of stuff. So we could talk about that, those sorts of things too. So yeah, that's definitely should be on the docket for the future. And Thomas, what kinds of, go ahead, Father Michael, you want to say?
I'm excited to talk about those things.
Okay, good. And Thomas, what kinds of things, you mentioned a couple of things already that you're doing, you're interested in. Anything else you want to kind of mention that you'd be want to talking about?
Yeah, no, I'm totally into the space stuff too. I have an app on my phone that alerts me to all the launches that are coming up. So there was a really great one today with Blue Origin launched a rocket this morning, and they're going to move into a new one. So I'd love to talk about that kind of stuff too. For me, I like automation. That's where I think things are getting really interesting. Like the ability to just call a car, and there's not going to be an Uber driver anymore. It's just going to be an Uber car. And
right.
I'd really like to kind of delve into looking at that kind of stuff as well.
I'm old enough where when I was a kid, that was science fiction and movies, you know, like Total Recall. Remember the original Arnold one where they had the cabs had a name, but it was a completely robotic cab. We're only a couple of years away from that. Yeah, I that sort of stuff. Yeah, it gets me too. So awesome. All right. Well, thanks for introducing yourselves. And, you know, the audience will, I'm sure, get to know you better as we go along. And if folks have specific questions, you can, you know, write into us, and I'll give the email and contact information at the end. It's technology@sqpn.com, but I'll repeat that at the end. So for our first topic, I want to talk about one of the biggest news stories of the week, that caught a lot of attention. And, I want to talk about it in a particular way. It's this event that happened at the March for Life, the annual march in Washington, D.C., where people mark the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade abortion decision. And there were some kids there who got into a confrontation with some other folks who were there for the Indigenous Peoples March, which was happening the same day. And I don't want to get into the politics of it and too much of the, how do I put it, the vitriol that kind of happened back and forth. But I really kind of want to look at the technology angle to this. And one of the things that came out was, and if you get a chance, folks, if you're not familiar with it, it's a Covington Catholic High School. If you just Google that in like Google News or something, there'll be plenty to read about it. I'd be surprised if you're online at all, if you haven't heard about it. But CNN had a story as of today, it was updated, that Twitter had suspended an account that apparently ignited this whole controversy with a conveniently cut version of the video and some inflammatory captioning, you know, language to go along with it. And it might be that this account they call it a sock puppet account. It's not a real account. There's not a real person behind it, but it may in fact be a sort of account used by someone or some agency or some nation state, say, to cause division and controversy and fan the flames of division within our country. And so I thought it would be interesting to kind of look at that story first. So did any of you get a chance to check out that story and anything that stands out to you on what they found?
Yeah, it's not surprising, but it is fairly scary that if you pay, like you said, if you're paying attention online, this story just took over the weekend and really exploded and shared thousands and thousands of times, and that it can come from it's not just citizen journalism, it's not just social media journalism, it's potentially somebody really that's their goal, go viral and make people mad, and not knowing who that is. I guess that is like the real danger of how like democratic and free things like Twitter are, that anybody can say anything. And it's a real lesson, I think, for all of us as we interact with that, never to take just everything as this has to be true. It's online, because it's exactly what happened and didn't work out that way.
Right.
Yeah, and I think you know, when you look at it, it's the next logical step to hacking, because the easiest way to hack any system is to find a weak person link. You don't try and get around the code or hack the mainframe. None of that kind of stuff. It's just making a call or sending an email that is convincing enough that somebody clicks the link and puts their password in.
Right.
And when you take that to its next logical step of how do we hack a system like democracy? How do we hack a whole country all at one time? And it's finding those pressure points that people are naturally gravitating to. And right now, that red hat is the thing that everybody is just up in arms about. And the video was perfect for that.
Right. And in fact, it was this the way it was cut, because later on, as the fuller, longer video came out and showed a completely different context. And that was that's one of the keys is because videos can be cut a particular way to remove context, because photos can be taken at a particular angle when you take seven, like one of these fast cameras that takes seven photos all in a row, and you get the one that makes the person look one way with one emotion, when it's really just their faces moving through a natural progression of facial expressions. There was a case a few years ago where there was a bombing in London on a bridge, and this woman in a hijab, in a Muslim scarf, the photo that came out made it look like she was walking over the body of someone who laying on the ground was injured and completely absorbed in her phone, like she didn't care. But of course, it's one photo out of a series of photos eventually that were discovered where it turns out she was calling 911.
Right.
And that's what but because it's taken out of its context, and then there's this whole other level of people imputing their own motives, but their own predisposition, into a photo or a movie or a video, and that gets things riled up, and it just seems like today that it's very easy to get the crowd riled up with just the right graphic or photo, and this goes both ways. I've seen the crowds get riled in both directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you could be angry about this in any way you wanted to. There wasn't really a tendency one way or the other. It was, I support these guys because they view things this way, or I support these guys. I can use completely generic terms and talk about the anger about the whole issue, and still it wouldn't make any difference. Everybody could find someone that they were angry about or something that they disagreed with.
Go ahead.
I'll just... the beauty of all this technology, it makes us present to a lot of things. And we see, we feel like we can know everything. We can be, we can get all the different angles, but it's so easy to forget, like, every viewpoint comes with that person's biases. And whether you're watching CNN or Fox News, they have reasons they produce the things they do. And a lot of it's for money, but, even social media that we all come with that bias and that viewpoint. And I just see people taken in again and again by something presented as true without kind of like going through that filtering process. And it's really important when it comes to controversial things like this.
Yeah. One of the things I kind of said, I posted something on Facebook the other day as the truth about this started, or more information about this. I'm not going to say the definitive truth is even out there yet. But as more information started to come out, I put, there's always, always, always more to the story. Don't react to the first thing. And that's one of the things I could like to kind of talk about is like how people, what lesson we can take from this and hopefully make ourselves better. And one of the things is, maybe it's, there is a tendency in me, and I'm going to just speak about myself, to want to get the hot take out there first, to be the first to talk about it and to say something really profound about it and to get it out there. And I mean, I've been at this for a long time. I've had a blog for, 19 years now almost. I mean, I've been writing about stuff in the news on a blog for a long time. And then in social media after, when that came around, and it's, I know the temptation to be the first one to say the thing, to get the crowd, the crowd that follows my stuff, whether it's my Facebook friends or the readers of my site or whatever, to get them all, interested in what I have to say. There's a lot of energy that comes from that, and it's very tempting to want to be that. But over the years, I've realized that the being the first to the story, being the hot take, that has dangers, and even the professional pundits on this one. All of them on both sides of the spectrum got it wrong. They all launched way too quickly.
Yeah, and I think there's two things that I'll send you some links for this too, Dom. There's a great article in The Atlantic by Julie Irwin Zimmerman, where she reflects on just this topic about, you know, she shouldn't have jumped. She should have waited. She should have, like, taken a step back, thought about it, got some more information, and moved into it then. But there was a really great talk that I share with all my students about this same kind of thing by Amber Case on TED. She calls herself a cyborg anthropologist. And she's studying the way that our machines are changing us. And one of the points that she makes is that as adults now, we've been able to go through the second adolescence, where, you know, we went through adolescence as teens in high school. We were able to deal with it in an interpersonal way, learn how that exact feeling worked with other people around. And now we're trying to do that same thing again as adults. And a lot of times we forget that the kids, like these Covington kids, they're doing both of those at the same time. Right. You know, they don't have the advantage of being able to separate out a real coming of age and a digital coming of age and deal with all of the issues that come up with that.
Yeah, and I think it's not just for professional journalists or even not just for popular people on social media, for all of us to take that step back all the time. And like Saturday night, I just deleted Twitter off my phone because I was tired. I was getting too into it. I was following it too closely. And not only did I not really know what was going on, which none of us did, kind of like the bigger picture, but do I need to be that informed about something that doesn't really affect me in the long run? And I've seen it again and again where I've gotten mad about things and angry about some situation in the media. And then a day later, like, why did I care so much? It may be important in the world at large, but there are more important ways to spend our time and to use these tools of technology than being mad about something that really does not affect me.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that kind of, you know, around 2016 is, and you'll understand why, knowing that date, where I kind of decided I'm done trying to convince people that I'm right and they're wrong on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't matter. It just, like, it won't change anything about the world if I convince this random guy in a comm box that he's wrong. It doesn't make it. I'm not making the world better by arguing about that. And I think that's related to this. I want to come back to the topic of a new civility, the need for a new civility. And I know that there's some backlash against those who call for new civility, but there's a, we have stopped giving people the benefit of the doubt, and there is a lot of doubt. And I think that's something that technology is connected to. That there's a strong connection to tech in that. All right, so I want to move on to our next topic, and this shouldn't be too this is a nice change from the previous topic. So right now, World Youth Day is going on in Panama. The World Youth Day is an annual gathering of youth from around the world. On the off years, it's in Rome around Easter on Palm Sunday, but in the other years, it's somewhere else in the world, and the Pope goes and tens of thousands, up to a million youth, you know, youth and young adults will go and be there with the Pope and all these other young Catholics. Usually it's in the summer, depending on whether if it's in the Northern Hemisphere or the Southern Hemisphere. Right now it's in Panama, which I would love to be there right now, given that it was 0 degrees this morning when I got up. But part of that is the Vatican has started doing this thing. Every time there's a big World Youth Day, they kind of release a new tech thing to kind of to connect with young people. And this trip, it was the new Click to Pray app. And it's this new app, iOS and Android. And it lets you pray with the Pope. And it's sort of this interesting idea where instead of clicking likes, you click that you prayed. So if someone, you know, so the Pope asks you to pray, you click, you pray it, and then you click that you prayed, and then people can put their own prayer intentions up and click to pray. Have either of you taken a look at this yet? I sent you the link early. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it.
I read about it, but didn't download it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the idea. I think that it's a really neat idea. I hope that it gets a little more robust than it is. Right now, there's only connect with Facebook, connect with Google, connect with your email. So you kind of have to be choosy about what you're connecting with. But I think that I took part in a meditation challenge earlier this year, non-specific religion, just general meditation. And part of it was you just logged your hours and so or your minutes of meditation. And it was on Discord, and you just put in like one of the bots. You said add a certain number of minutes, and it did it. And then it spat back. And this was the thing that really impacted me. It spat back the number of total minutes logged by everyone meditating together.
Right.
And if we could do something like that with a prayer app, that would be immensely powerful.
That's one of the things that the app does do, like something similar to that. I'm just opening it up now. Like it says right now, like this month, 1,500,000, or was it 100? It went by quick. I think it was 155,000 people have prayed with the Pope, which, right, given that this thing launched like 2 days ago, is somewhat impressive. It's interesting. But there's something to be said for the gamifying of everything. It hit. Mm-hmm. There's a certain lizard brain thing in our heads that likes the game, the hunt, that when we see that number, we see that goal, we want to go get it. And we're impressed by numbers somehow. I mean, I do the same thing with my Apple Watch workout or Fitbit, if people do their Fitbit steps, or there's all these ways we're gamifying our lives. And there's a little bit of that in there, I think.
It doesn't hurt. I think having that encouragement of keeping, like, making a streak, just like exercising or meditating, that building those things, if it helps us pray, and if your phone helps you pray, I think it's absolutely worth it. And I think just the beauty of technology that's in your pocket like that, where you know what the Pope is saying and you're joined with him in prayer, it's a pretty amazing thing that in Pope Benedict's time wouldn't be that common, that we're really diving into it, that people can connect in that way. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, but I agree with Thomas that the Vatican has a bad track record with these sorts of apps and websites and things, where they launch them, but they don't flesh them out. They don't take the time to grow them and let them become something more than they were at launch. There's always lots of promise. So I'm hoping that eventually the folks who work there in their tech are really good in their tech department. But they need to kind of stick to something and help it grow. We'll see how that goes. Excellent. So at this point, I want to move to our final segment, where we do like every other tech show, we have to do picks of the week. But I like this because it's a chance to kind of do quick hits on something that's interesting to us and might be interesting to our audience. And I hope you both have got picks of the week to go with. So let me start with you, Father. What's your pick of this week?
I'm going with the app I probably use. Probably one of the top five apps I use on my phone, which is Overcast, which is my podcast player of choice. It's made by Marco Arment, who's the same guy who made Instapaper. I think he worked on Tumblr when that was starting out. But it has a lot of great features. If it's something that people use, smart speed, it takes out silences, different voice boosts. You can make playlists. You can find new podcasts by connecting with your Twitter account. But honestly, like, it's beautiful. It's just the best looking of those apps. And that's a huge thing for me, that it's clean and simple. I just got a new car. I had to get a new car, and it's got Apple CarPlay, and Overcast pops up on the screen of my car. So it's just, it's a nice way to listen to podcasts. And I've used it for a couple years now and been very happy with it.
Yeah, as a podcaster, you can imagine I listen to a lot of podcasts, and Overcast, I've been using that for years, it is great. I love it. All of SQPN's podcasts are in there. You can find them all in there. So, it's magic the way it finds new stuff. Like when I launched this new podcast, it was in Overcast within minutes. I don't know how he does it, but he does. Yeah, but it's a great, and the speed boost part of it. I listened at 1.5 speed about, but it's organic. It's very smart about how it speeds it up. Yeah, good choice. That's a good one. Thomas, how about you?
Okay, so I mentioned it earlier on the Space Launch Now app. It's a fantastic app if you are into space travel at all, because it has it gives you notifications of any upcoming launches. You can click right on the app when the launch is coming up, and it will take you to the video of the launch if it's streaming at all. Gives you information about the payload, it gives you information about the rockets. And it's not just American companies. It gives you the Chinese, the Indian companies, the Russian launches, everything that anybody can know anything about on the web, it'll tell you about. And then it even has, like, if it's a secret launch, like you don't know what it is, we don't know what the payload is, but we know it's going up because it has to.
Yeah.
It'll tell you that too. So.
Wow, cool. Yeah. With so many launches going on now, so many independents, it's hard to keep track. So this is really neat. I'm gonna check that one out.
Me
so
too.
My pick is a web service called privacy.com, and this is a really neat thing. It doesn't cost anything. It's completely free. What it is it's a way to use credit cards online without exposing your own card. Now, and actually, it's technically your debit card. It only works with a debit card. So what you do is you go to the site and you connect your bank account with it. And that's the only place that gets your bank account. And they have all kinds of privacy information there. And it's been vetted by security experts for their security. And what they do is you can set up single use cards so that are tied to one particular vendor. So like I have an Amazon card, and it can only be used at Amazon. And if Amazon, say something happens to Amazon servers and that card gets exposed, well, I'm fine. I'll just burn that card. I just, you know, turn it off at privacy.com, and I'm safe. You can set spending limits. Like, say if I have a Netflix subscription, I can set a limit that card can only charge $35 a month, and they can't charge me more than that without an error coming up being declined. Or I can do an annual, or I can do a one-time card. If I find this website, random e-commerce site, and I want something that they're selling, I don't have to worry about, do I really feel safe about putting my card information in? And PayPal, let's just face it, PayPal's kind of a pain. So I can say this is a one-time card, and it can only charge up to, and then the amount of whatever the thing is. So it's privacy.com. You can have as many cards as you want. I have several dozen. I have had my card out there online for various services is now one of these privacy.com cards. I've been using it for a couple months now, and it really works well. It sends me alerts when the card is used for how much. So go check it out, privacy.com. It's an interesting service. And especially I've known a lot of people who have been leery about using credit cards online. They see all these news stories about cards being compromised. This one, this might be the thing for those folks who are a little leery of that. So those are some good picks to get us started. So from that point, I'd like to, before we wrap up, I do want to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create the Secrets of Technology podcast. And today we want to thank by name, Jason H., Tim D., Father Brian, Stephanie L., and Heather C. Through their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for us to continue the Secrets of Technology and all the podcasts at sqpn.com. And you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. So that's it from us, I think. We've talked about our topics of the day. What did you think of our discussion of the viral video, the Twitter account that put it out there, the sock puppet account? Or what do you think of the Click to Pray app, or any of our picks of the week? Or if you just have some questions for Thomas or Father Michael, you could send those too. You can go to sqpn.com/technology or the SQPN Facebook page and leave us some feedback, or send us an email to technology@sqpn.com. You'll find the links that we discussed in this episode on our show notes at sqpn.com. Remember to like each episode of the Secrets of Technology on Facebook, on the SQPN Facebook page, or retweet them on Twitter, where we're at sqpn.com. Leave a comment, subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, your favorite podcast app like Overcast, or YouTube, where you can hit the bell to get notifications when a new post goes up. And write a review in iTunes or one of the podcast directories and share the podcast with your friends, because we're a brand new podcast. We're still trying to grow. We're getting some great feedback from folks that really enjoy it. And so please share that enthusiasm with others and get the news out about this new podcast. So until next time, Thomas and Herho, thank you for joining me and sharing the secrets of technology.
Thanks for having me.
Father Michael Gossett, thank you as well.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And once again, I'm Don Bettinelli. Thank you for listening to the Secrets of Technology on StarQuest.